So I got that to share with you as well. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. 2 Thessalonians 3, verses 6 through 14. Our Father and our God, we thank you for today. Lord, I'm overwhelmed with joy and thankful for every one of our church family and visitors and guests that you have here today. Lord, I can't express my love to them in a way that they express it so much more to me. And Lord, I love them, and I thank you for every team player that you have here, every member, every worker. And Lord, I couldn't do what I do here without them. And Lord, I thank you for them. I thank you for sending Jameson our way, the Lord, and taking care of office stuff and office duties and things that he did last week. The Lord, I'm thankful for him. Lord, again, I thank you for all our teachers, all our assistant teachers, leaders, the Lord. Every one of them are precious to me. Thank you for the event that all of them came so well together and worked so good as a team to pull off with the fish fire and the Sunday school promotion. Lord, just anything and everything that goes on at this church, what an amazing church. What an amazing team that you have put together of workers to accomplish your will, your way, in anything that we have to be done here. Lord, your work always continues to go. And Lord, I'm thankful for being a part of a church like that. I'm thankful for this church family, which we love so dear. Father God, I pray today as we open up your word in Thessalonians, the Lord, and as we study it and we talk about Labor Day, the Lord, that we can look at things a little differently than maybe what we ever looked at or experienced on Labor Day, the Lord, that your word would be clear, your word would be evident, your word would go forward, the Lord. And Father, that it would pierce a heart where it needs to, a cut where it needs to, the Lord. Thank you for the song service today. Thank you for how it's already ministered to me and ministered to others. And Lord, I pray and thank you for the message in the songs. And Lord, I pray that you defeat the devil, bind him up, cast him away. He's not welcome here, the Lord. And continue to let the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit of God have freedom to move and work in and through us and in our lives, the Lord. And Father, we just thank you and praise you for what you're doing. Bless all those that are traveling through the Labor Day weekend. So many folks that have contacted us that are traveling or away, taking advantage of the three-day weekend. Father, I pray that you keep them safe, that you keep them all right. You bless them to have a good time with their families. Bring them back safely to us, the Lord. And Father, bless our time with our families. It's precious time. Life is short. Father, let us enjoy one another. May you be honored and blessed today in the message. We give the service to you. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. We'll be in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, in verses 6 through 14 says this. It says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. For yourselves know how ye ought to follow us, for we behave not ourselves disorderly among you. Neither did we eat any man's bread for naught, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us. For even when we were with you, this was the commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. For the government's got that backwards, don't they? Amen. Can you pipe me down just a little bit, Mark? Yeah, I'm talking to myself over here. It seems a little hot to me. I don't want to hear myself. But anyhow, I think, as I said, I think the government got that a little bit backwards. What about you? It says, for we hear that there are some which walk among you disorderly, working not at all, but are busybodies. Now them that are such, as command and exhort by the Lord Jesus Christ, that with quietness they work, and they eat their own bread. But ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. I thought about this. I thought about this message, and I thought about it being Labor Day. And I thought about a lot of things when it comes to Labor Day. Labor Day is an unusual holiday. It's a different kind of holiday, and I put some things in here. Labor Day weekend. Labor Day is a strange holiday. Why call it Labor Day? We try to do as little labor as possible, and most working people have a day off. So did you ever think about that? So why call it Labor Day? You know, we try to do as little bit as possible, and most working people have that day off. Has anybody, as I asked you this morning, wished you a happy Labor Day outside of me? Anybody wish you a happy Labor Day this morning? When you woke up and you looked at you, happy Labor Day? You know, nobody wished you a happy Labor Day. Did you get any happy Labor Day cards today? You didn't get any happy Labor Day cards. Did you decorate your house saying happy Labor Day? It's a holiday, but did you decorate the house happy Labor Day? You know, no house decorations for happy Labor Day. Did you get a Labor Day gift? No gifts for Labor Day. The florists and the greeting card manufacturers haven't found a way to capitalize on Labor Day. It's a strange holiday. It's a bad weekend for church attendance because most folks are traveling with family and taking advantage of a three-day weekend. Labor Day is different things to different people. To the factory or office worker, it's probably a day off. For a policeman who deals with extra traffic and alcohol abuse, it's probably a tough day and a lot of calls for them. To a farmer and a rancher, it's just another day to feed the cattle and work in the field. For preachers, it's an opportunity to talk about work and this administration. Amen. And, you know, I thought about that. Work is a very important part of God's will for people. God intended for us to work, and it's a very important part for us. I have a true story, which I ran by Rick, that I found, and I'd like to share it with you. And again, it's going to be Paul Harvey. You're going to have to follow along with me because I'm just going to give you a little bit at a time. The USS Astoria was the first U.S. cruiser ship to engage the Japanese during the Battle of Savo Island in World War II. It was a night action fought on August the 8th and the 9th in 1942. Although the Astoria scored two hits on the Imperial flagship, Chokai, amen, I got it right, Chokai, she was badly damaged and sank shortly after noon on August the 9th. About 2 o'clock that morning, a young Midwestern signalman, Third Class Staples, was swept overboard by a blast when the Astoria's number one 8-inch gun turret exploded. Wounded in both legs by shrapnel and semi in shock, Staples was kept afloat by a narrow life belt that he managed to activate with a simple trigger mechanism for him to remain afloat. I give you the rest of the story of that in later. It's talking about Labor Day and laboring and people giving their life and things of that nature for us. Number one, if you're taking notes, number one, God has always honored and provided work. God has always honored and provided work for us. And I think about that in that, and I think about Genesis 2:2. God has always honored and provided work for us. In Genesis 2:2, it says this. It says, "And on the seventh day, God ended all his what? Work." So what did God do? Way back in the beginning, in Genesis, God did work. He worked. So it says, "And on the seventh day, God ended his work." By the way, that must mean that God worked 6 days. You know, so it says, "On the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he made." I think we need to send this to the current administration, that they could get back to what this world was founded on, the Judean and Christian principles of God's word. Amen? Amen. And it says, so God is a worker himself and appreciates rest. He created us in the image and gave us work to do. In Genesis 2:15, it says this, "And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to what? To dress it up and to what? Keep it." What does that mean that man did? He worked. He took care of what he had to do. Even from the beginning, God gave man work to do. When Jesus came to earth, God honored work. What did he do? His first birth was foretold to working shepherds. In Luke 2:8, it said, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field," working, abiding in the field what? Keeping watch over their flock by night. And so Jesus learned not only that, Jesus learned a trade as a carpenter. In Mark 6:3, it says, "Is not this the carpenter, the what? son of Mary. Is not this the carpenter? Jesus did what? He worked as a carpenter in a shop. He worked with his hands in Joseph's carpenter shop. Jesus chose working men as his disciples. Peter, Andrew, James, and John were what? Fishermen. They were workers. They made a living. Matthew was what? A tax collector. Matthew was a worker. Jesus called them from their labors to become fishers of men. Jesus told his disciples in Luke 10:7, and in the same house remain, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is what? Worthy of his hire. So who's worthy of the hire? The laborer, the one that is working, doing God's business and working, is worthy of his hire. He said, go not from house to house. What was Jesus saying to them? He didn't want them to go out begging from house to house. Jesus expected his disciples to earn their keep. So why do so many people around the world and this administration think that work is something bad? Work is something bad. I can tell you why. It's because of sin. Sin caused the work to be unpleasant. In Genesis 3:17-19, it said, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and thou hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shall thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth for thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground, for out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return. And because of that, because of sin in the garden, it left that image of work in people's mind. And in people's say it was a perfect place until sin entered into the world. Adam enjoyed tending to the Garden of Eden until sin changed things. Sin changed things. It growed up thistles and thorns and everything else. And then Adam had to work by the sweat of his brow because he sinned against what God wanted him to do to keep the garden up then. So because that sin entered into mankind, you know, we get the image that work is a bad thing. Most of the world today thinks work is a necessary evil. Folks in the day we are living in has this kind of attitude. If we don't have to work, we choose not to do so. And some people do as little as possible. The ideal seems to be get more money for doing less work. This leads to the ideal of someone else doing the work for you. In American labor and management are adversaries. In America, labor and management are adversaries today. Labor wants the most money for the least work. Management wants the most work for the least money. And this creates an adversarial relationship. How many of us had chores to do when you were growing up? How many had chores to do when we were growing up? You know, I remember growing up, and my mom and dad wasn't the richest people in the world, and they worked sometimes two or three jobs to provide for us to have medical and dental and insurance and things of that nature. And I'm 40 years old, and my mom still pays my medical bills from all me and my childhood growth. And she says she'd be working for the rest of her life to pay my bills off as a child and as an adult. But anyhow, you know, so all of us had chores to do. And how many of us got paid to do those chores? Some did. Very few. But most of us had chores to do, and it was either feeding the animals, taking care of livestock, tending to the garden, taking out the trash, cleaning the room, helping around the house, things of that nature, chores to do. Now, if your parents were able and had a little extra money to be able to provide you for something or give you a need or a necessity, they gave it to you. If they were able. If it was going to the movie, buying a soda pop, some candy, giving you a dollar or whatever, calling an allowance or whatever, they did that as respect to show you appreciation and thank you for the chores that you took care of, you know, and things of that nature. But in today's society, kids don't want to do chores. Kids don't want to do that. America is raising, and the administration we're under are raising a generation of folks that don't want to work because they don't have to work because you and I work to pay for everything they get. And pay for everything they get. So we do all the work around here. And they, you know, we work and we pay in the taxes, and they get the free Medicare, they get the free Medicaid, and they get the food stamps, and they get all that. And you and I are starving and can't make ends meet, but that's the administration and the generation that's growing up before us. And I take the work out of welfare. Why go to work when you're going to pay me everything? You know, and wonder, and then the government wonders why America's going broke. Not only that, but then when you take over 1 million babies that's been aborted since abortion came about, have you ever thought that's 1 million taxpayers that could have been brought up in this life and in this world? That's over 1 million people. Have you thought about that? Maybe in that 1 million of babies that's been aborted, there could have been another Eisenhower. There could have been another Einstein. There could have been another Billy Graham. But we will never know. That's 1 million people that was aborted that would have been tax-paying individuals that are no longer here to pay taxes. And we wonder why we're going broke and why we got trillions of dollars worth of deficit. Wonder why. It's the labor. Where's the labor going? I was taught you work for what you get for. You have to earn what you get. You work for what you get. You don't get a handout. My mom and dad didn't ever get no handouts when they were growing up. Everything they got, they worked hard and earned. You know, and that's the American way. The American people that have it down pat understand that if you want something in this country, you got to work for it. And America has the biggest opportunity for anybody to make it happen. You know, and I thought about some folks here, and I wrote them down. I hope not to embarrass nobody, but I thought about just of a few folks, and I might be missing some of them. I think about Miss Cassandra, you know, and all the children that she is raising, a single mom, raising all the kids. I think about Miss Terry Krause. I think about Miss Mary Duncan. I think about Chandra Falusky, Miss Janet Horn, Nicole Nigel, Jesse Sanders, and Nina Norman. Just a few to make, you know, mention that all these ladies I just called out are single moms. Do you think any of them are standing in a welfare line? Do you think any of them are asking the government for a handout? Every one of these single moms that I just called out have a job in this church. Amen. Have a job in this church. These are single moms. Single moms that are working to provide for their families. They are working to provide for their families. And I'm sure I could have come up with others, but that's what the Lord laid up on my heart. That are working to provide for their families. And understand this. Miss Cassandra, I think about her a lot. She's lost 2 or 3 jobs. But you know what? Every time she gets a job, within 6 weeks later, she has another job to go to work at. And this is a failing economy. This is an economy where 23 million people are without a job. But somehow these ladies in this church are able to get a job. Why? Because they're persistent and they go at it and get it. Because they don't want a handout. They don't want a handout. They work for what they get. That is impressive to me. I wish I had a video camera come and video these women and send it up to the White House so they can show them that there is people out there that are not standing there with a handout waiting for a government check to make ends meet. They're out busting their behinds to make a ends meet, earning a true wage so that they can support their families. That's the American way. That's the American way, and these ladies need apply. And I think about that. And this government has it all backwards when it comes to laboring and laboring for the Lord. I think about that and what they're done. I think about this generation we're raising in America today that doesn't want to work. They expect things to be given to them. They expect handouts to be done to them. Think of this current administration that's leading this country today. It is taking the work out of welfare. Instead of working, we're just going to feed you. We're going to pay you. We're going to provide you benefits for doing nothing and wonder why, again, America is going broke. We're going to pay you everything, tax you more, give you more taxes so that you can take care of more illegal aliens and things that ain't citizens of this country, and we're going to provide for everything for you. They got more rights than you and I got. If you say you're a Christian, you ain't got no rights in America. But if you say you're gay or a lesbian, you got all kind of rights, brother and sister. You got all kind of rights in America if you're that way. You know, and hey, I might offend somebody today. This will be on the computer. Maybe somebody can send it to the White House. I don't care. You know, but it's the truth of what I'm saying. If you claim to be a Christian, you have no rights. Kick the Bible out of school, get the prayer out of school, and everything else. You can't even mention the name of Jesus anywhere you go. But sure enough, if you're homosexual or lesbian or gay or whatever, you can hold up a sign, you can march through the courthouse, White House, you can have 1 million march around here, and you're going to get heard, and you're going to get all kind of stuff. You're going to get all kind of benefits. America, Labor Day, it's a joke, you know, in America today. But guess what? You and I have an opportunity come November to change the joke. And we need to do it. And we need to do it. Oh, listen to me. And we need to do it. Not only that, but here's a little more of this true story. At around 6 o'clock the same morning, Singleman, third-class Staples, was rescued by a passing destroyer and returned to the Astoria, whose captain was attempting to save the cruiser by beaching her. The efforts of that failed, and Staples was still wearing that same life belt, found himself back in the water again with that same life belt that he had that we're going to talk about in a little bit that kept him afloat. If you want to be kept afloat today, you need a life vest on, and his name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Get tied in to the life raft that can keep you afloat today, and his name is Jesus. Get tied into that. Get plugged into that, and it will work for you. And so we see here in the second point, the America work system today is not the Christian way. The American work system today is not the Christian way. In Ephesians 6, 5 through 9, it says this. It says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service, as men's pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord, not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. And you masters, do the same thing unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven. Neither is there respect of persons with him. Does these verses describe most workplaces today? You know, slavery has been abolished. I don't want to hear about it. It's been abolished. It's been done. It's been done away with. And who? Freedom. Abraham Lincoln. It was abolished. It's done away with. Slavery has been done. But many workers think they're treated like slaves. Many employees have an attitude like a master. They treat their employees like slaves. God cares about how we conduct our business and how we treat others. We will face judgment, both as employees and employers. We will face judgment when we stand there according to these verses. And the Christian cannot separate his business from the spiritual life. He has no right to act like a heathen Monday through Friday. It don't work. The Christian does not live for self alone. Money is an opportunity to help others. Ephesians 4:28 says this. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him what? Labor with what? Working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let him that stole steal no more. Go out and labor. He's saying, go get a job. Go labor with your hands and provide what you have need of. Don't steal it and rob it from somebody else. Don't raise the taxes on me and you to cover what you can't do. You can do it. It's just most American people are too lazy to do it. Get up and go to work. You know, why should we have to provide for everything and take a hit? You know, I think of Jimbo in the military. Military done cut his salary by 50%. Raised his hours 20 hours more. Been there 19 years today. 19 years today in the military. 19 years in the military. And since this current administration has came into office, Jimbo has taken a 50% pay cut in salary and raised his hours 20 more hours a week and caused him to have to work 3 more weekends out of the month. That's the reason you only see him in here 1 weekend out of the month now, because they make him work 21 straight days before he gets some days off. More hours and 50% less pay. Been an employee of the government for 19 years. Way to go, Jimbo. You still like the military under this current administration? Would you like to see this current administration gone? Do you need help, Brother Jimbo, getting him out of there? You know, current administration. You know, here a man is that can be called out to the line of duty at any time. And I'm sure he's willing to go at any time even though he took a 50% cut in pay. Amazing, amazing. Folks, we've got to do something with America. We've got to do something. Here's a little more of the story. Close to 12 noon, Navy Seaman Staples was picked up again, this time by the USS President Jackson. He was one of 500 survivors of the battle who was excavated to Noumea. I had to get it right from him. Noumea. Safely on board the ship, for the first time, Staples closely examined the life belt that had served him so well. It had been manufactured by the Firestone Tire and Rubber Company of Akron, Ohio. And it bore a registration number. And we'll get to the rest of that in a minute. And it bore a registration number on there. Number three, Christians does the best we can offer. As Christians, we need to do the best that we can offer. In Colossians 3, 22 through 24, it says this, "Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men, knowing that our Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For you serve the Lord Christ. Christian employees should do more than what they're expected to do. Because they work for the Lord. Because we work for the Lord. Christian employees should do the best, not the least they can do, for their employers, because they have a master. Jesus said in Matthew 7:12, "Therefore, all things whatsoever you would that men should do to you, what? Do ye even so to them." In Matthew 7:12, "Do ye even so to them. For this is the law of the prophets." For this is the law of the prophets. This is what you can hang it on. So there are rewards for doing a good job. There are rewards for doing a good job. Here's some of the rest of the story. Given home leave, Navy Seaman Staples told his story and asked his mother, who worked for Firestone, about the purpose of the number on the belt. She replied that the company insisted in personal responsibility for the war effort and that the number was unique and assigned to only one inspector. Staples remembered everything about that life belt. He quoted that number to his mother. It was his mother's personal code, affixed to every item she was responsible for approving. Do you suppose Miss Staples was glad that she had performed a well job? It was the exact code of the belt he wore. His mom was responsible for making and approving to send to the military men and women. And it was that exact belt that kept her son, Staples, alive. Do you think she appreciated doing the job to the best of her ability? We need to do our job to the best of our ability. It pays both in this life and the life to come to do our very best, folks. How we carry our Christian principles into our work is important. Our work performance becomes a Christian ministry if you will allow it to. This gives work new meaning and dignity. We can't claim to be Christians if our Christianity is only one day a week fair. It's 7 days a week we got to live it, folks. God does care what you do Monday through Friday, whether you're an employee or whether you're an employer. We'll have to answer for that. This is great encouragement in knowing this, that this is Labor Day weekend. Labor Day weekend. Let's be thankful for our help to do the work. Let's be thankful for the jobs that we have. Let's do our best at the work that God allows us to do so that it'll bring Him honor and glory. And when we do it, my grandpa used to say, do your best that you can do, and your expectations always exceed the expectations of your employers, and then they never, if you are happy with the job, they will never come about you and come back on you and say, you didn't do a good job. Work like you know that your job can be gone tomorrow, knowing that if they take it away from you, that business will suffer when you leave. That's the kind of work you need to do. And God will be honored and pleased with that. As Labor Day, folks, and as we go through this time, Jameson, you guys can come back. And as we think about this country and the American way today, folks, in this way that this country is going, we are not working the way God intends for America to be. The work ethic today is nowhere lines up or matches up to what the Word of God says. Folks, we need to do our job in the working labor, in the working union. We need to do our job and help America out. We need to do our job and do our part, my friends, to getting people back to work. 23 million jobs have been lost in the last 4 years in America. Ain't been too many created if 23 million have been lost. We got a job to do. And folks, it's our job to work. As I said earlier with these ladies, and I could have mentioned more, but these ladies proved to me, as I said, Cassandra and Terry and Miss Mary and Chandra and Janet and Nicole and Jesse and Nina, these ladies proved to me in this church, and I'm sure there's some that I forgot, but that's what the Lord laid up on my heart. If I forgot you, forgive me. But these ladies prove that even though they're single women, single mothers, should I say, some of them have 3 and 4 children, that they all have a job and they work to make ends meet. The work to make ends meet. And this is East Palatka, where it is the highest rated county in the state of Florida for unemployment. Isn't it amazing that we have 8 women right here within this congregation with those statistics that can say, I got a job. And that I provide for my family. That's amazing. That's amazing. That just proves to me, if we want a job bad enough, we can find one. We can find one. We can find one. Folks, we need to put work back in welfare. And there are some people that it is legit. I hand that. There are some people that is legit that are on that. But there's a lot of people that are just plain lazy. And they need to be taught something about work. Amen? Let us work. There's an old song that says, let us work for the master from the dawning of the sun. Laboring for Jesus. Let us work for the master. Laboring for him because time is short and we need to be vocal about Jesus. If you're here today and you're looking for a church home, we would love to be your church family. I'd love to be your pastor. If you're here and God's laid something up on your heart that you're burdened about, bring it to the altar. There be others gathered around you. Come to me, I'll pray for you. If you're here and you need to be saved, give your heart and life to Jesus. He'll change your way. And you will never regret what Jesus can do in your life. As we stand, will you stand with me? As we take a few minutes of this benediction and invitation, as God leads and lays upon your heart, will you come this morning, give it to the Lord? Folks, be praying for this country. Be praying for one another. Because we need it. Amen.